Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance, who has the night off. So if we have any problems that we might have with the show, we can blame Dave, who is not here to defend himself. Just kidding, Dave, in case you're listening. Our guests on Inside Tennessee for Monday, August 12th, are Don Barnett from the Center for Immigration Studies. He's going to talk with us about the refugee resettlement and the impact it has locally in Tennessee and elsewhere. And we'll talk to Bev Berger, who's a city alderman from Franklin, Ward 1. And finally, we'll talk with Lori Cardoza Moore. She is the founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. We have found that there is some anti-Semitism and textbook bias in the textbooks that are currently being used in the Williamson County schools, and she'll explain more of that to us when we get to talk to her. Again, I'm your host, Rob Hathaway. I invite you to call in and join the conversation at 718-305-7176 from now until 8 p.m. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. Visit their website at www.tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country, our America, great. Visit our website at www.tennesseeforaction.com. As I said in the intro, in the beginning, that our guest, our first guest, is Don Barnett. He's from the Center for Immigration Studies, and he should be on the line momentarily. Until then, we'll just take a phone call. I've got two callers that we can speak to, and the first one is Bing Fisher. So let's go talk to Bing. Hello, caller.
Hey, Rabbi. Hey, Rob, how you doing? Hey, yeah, it's Bing.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, that's good. I'm doing pretty good, hanging in there like a, you know, loose tooth. But, yeah, I'm just going to kind of sit in the back backstage here and just help the screen calls and that kind of thing. I don't have the log today, so I don't know what exactly to play, but it looks kind of self-explanatory, so we'll muddle through it.
Okay, we're on the air live. And so we're going to go back to the show here. So I'm glad you called in. Please call in and talk to our guests, the first opportunity. And while I'm waiting, I'm just going to talk about some of the things that we could have that could impact us locally here in Nashville. You know, one of the latest headlines, if you will, with regards to refugees resettlement, is the proposal by the Obama administration to resettle tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of Syrian refugees in that war-torn country who've been besieged by the anti-Assad forces. And there's elements of, as we hear in the news, Al-Qaeda. There is the Free Syrian Army. And the impact on the region in bordering nations like Jordan, Lebanon, even Israel, is overwhelming, and they are in dire need. And so our administration is proposing to resettle those refugees, or some of them, here in the United States. And one of those refugee resettlement cities is our own Nashville. So when Don comes on, we'll be speaking with him about the impact that that's going to have potentially in a local community. Let me go to another, to a call. There's no guest that's, he hasn't called in yet, so we're just going to stand by, I suppose, and talk to our next caller. I have Kent calling in, and we'll see what's on Kent's mind. Hello, Kent, are you there?
It's Kurt.
Kurt. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes,
you're right.
Yeah. That's okay.
Hey,
no problem. I'm Rob Blackwood. I'm a friend of Dave's over in Henry County. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing very well. I know the name. I know the name. I think we've met before, actually.
Very possibly. I bounce around to quite a few events in the state there, so we have probably met at some point in time.
I just want to let you know. I want to let you know when our guest calls in, I'm going to have to. I don't want to cut you off, but I will have to.
No, hey, that's quite all right. I listen in by phone. I live in the Stone Ages over here. I'm on dial-up, so in order to get good audio on these shows, I have to do it on the phone.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I'm sorry that we don't have a guest who's made any statements or talked about his subject matter as the subject matter expert. You're just talking to the host. And what's on your mind? Is there anything on your mind in particular that you want to air out or converse
with? You probably don't want to hear what's on my
cool.
mind. Of course, the subject matter here is a great deal of interest to me, and that is, of course, this quote-unquote refugee resettlement. Hang on. Dave is calling me. I'm going to see what he wants. You can do something else for a minute, okay?
Okay, absolutely. I will do that. Thank you very much for your call, and please call back in when you have an opportunity. Well, for those for our listeners, we're expecting to hear from Don Barnett from the Center for Immigration Studies, who is going to speak to us about the refugee resettlement in our local community. You may be interested in knowing that last week Don had an article in the Tennessean, which they actually published, and he wrote about at what point does a program that entertains, if you will, those who are not U.S. citizens, who are not born here, but who come here without the consent of the people who will be footing the bill or who pay taxes to have it spent on entitlements that these folks who are fleeing various regimes in other parts of the world that may be unfriendly to the U.S. even, and they are invited here by our administration and our government. However, the local governments, as far as I know, are not consented, or do they give their consent? Let's say, for example, Nashville. Do our Tennessee legislators have a say on who comes here? We'll find that out now because Don is on the line. So we're going to speak with Don. I'm going to let him do more of the talking than I am at the moment. So let's go to Don. Hi, Don. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you, and thank you for being on the show. It's great to have you, and this topic has generated some callers already who kind of beat you to the punch in calling the show because of the advertised topic. So let's start with some questions, just a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Sure, that'd be great.
Can you just give us a quick background about the program?
Sure. The Refugee Resettlement Program is totally run by the federal government. Each year, the State Department declares a number of refugees that will be taken in the following year. There's no regulations or any. There's no parameters around that. It could be any number that the State Department chooses. And the following year, that is implemented by a group of private contractors who bring the refugees in. The refugees do have to meet a criteria, and that's a criteria of, quote, well-founded fear of persecution based on five different categories. But that's all done by the UN. Most of our refugees are picked by the UN or are family members of refugees that were previously picked by the UN. which is a major change in the way the program used to be. The program used to be basically refugees that we chose, not those that were chosen for us. And the U.S. has always taken refugees in. The biggest change has been that at one time refugees were not allowed to access welfare. They had to be housed. They had to be guaranteed work, and they were specifically barred from welfare. All that has changed with legislation as of 1980, and charities, which were at one time true charities that were making a sacrifice and practicing true sacrificial charity, became federal contractors. And what was once a fairly decent system of control, because if you could not put the person up or there was no jobs for the person, you would be less likely to take that person in. You would be much more likely to make sure the person assimilated as soon as possible. Now all that is kind of out the window with the way the system is structured now, which is the contractor gets paid on a per capita basis. They have a very short engagement with the refugee, and the refugee is basically farmed out to the welfare system.
So it's a production line or assembly line, if you will, kind of a, you know, put them on the belt and move them in and, you know, not really educate them on the society they're about to assimilate into, which you, that's a key word, assimilation. That means they come here to be an American citizen and adopt our values, our culture, our language, and then they can blend in. But that process doesn't even get started when they come in to be resettled. Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, they don't even pay lip service to assimilation. They don't even try to pretend anymore. There is no assimilation, and that's partially because of the short time frame that the quote so-called sponsors, they're not really sponsors, but the short time frame that the sponsors have, and the existence of the welfare state. And in fact, you used to, and if you survey literature from the federal government, the word assimilation kind of dropped from usage about 5 years ago, and today you won't even find the word assimilation used. They use the word integration, but they pointedly make it clear that integration does not mean assimilation. It means I can live my life and just do the minimum to get by in this country.
So there's not even probably an apparatus or a structure or mechanism to facilitate any type of
assimilation. No. There's a very short, like it's counted in days, maybe a week or so of so-called cultural orientation. So they know what to look, know what to look for when they arrive. But in many cases, these are people that are not even literate in their own language, and it's totally absurd to expect them to have any assimilation, integration, whatever word you want to use, on the basis of a one-week course that's called cultural orientation.
Well, Don, that's one of the first things we want to let circulate in our minds here while we take our first break. We've come upon our first break. If you'd please stand by and stand the line. I'm going to just have a short a moment here. And I'll come right back to you. We'll take some calls, and we'll have some more questions for you. Okay, Don?
Great.
Okay, we'll be right back now. Like the true patriots and anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be Conservative Nation Radio without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Thank you for listening. I'm Rob Hathaway, your host, sitting in for Dave Vance, who has the night off. Please call in and join the conversation at 718-305-1149. 7176. We're talking with our guest, Don Barnett, from the Center for Immigration Studies. He's bringing us his insight into the refugee resettlement program sponsored by the United Nations. We're going to talk to Don a few more minutes and then take some of your questions momentarily. So, Don, welcome back to the show.
Yep.
And thank you for that background information. The next question I have about this refugee resettlement program is, who are the main supporters of this program? You mentioned the State Department.
Right. There's the State Department and the United Nations apparatus, of course, is one of the bigger supporters. You might be surprised to learn, or maybe not so surprised to learn, that big business also is a pretty big supporter. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a supporter, particularly those that rely or want the economy to be more reliant on part-time, short-term, low-wage workers. They're pretty big supporters. And in fact, if you look at the organizations that are in Tennessee running with this, they're very interlocked with the boards of Tyson and companies like that. So that's a source of support. And then, of course, the contractors themselves. There's at least 400 separate organizations that are making money off of this, and they support it also. And there's a humanitarian impulse as well. I don't think we should forget that there are religious groups that have a genuine interest in this, but it's the contractors who get paid on a per capita basis. It's Chamber of Commerce and it's the UN.
And so this sounds similar to the draw that you hear about illegal immigrants, you know, across our southern border, that it's the businesses, farmers, those corporations who are enamored by the cheap labor, that's a draw and an incentive. It sounds like
Exactly right. In fact, Tyson, as you know, was there was some mid-level manager convictions for illegally hiring illegal aliens, and there were charges, not at the top level like they tried, but they were at the mid-level. And they immediately went into, well, we need to replace illegals with refugees. And they don't seem to mind that, yes, you're getting the cheap refugee laborer, but with that you're also getting someone whose family's on food stamps, who's living in public housing, who's on Medicaid. In Tennessee, that would be TennCare. That doesn't seem to be relevant to them.
So welcome to the land of entitlement.
Exactly.
We have it all prepared for you in a nice, tidy little package. And forget your duties and obligations to your newfound country. Love you.
Right. This is like the golden, sort of like the gold standard for reception. You're eligible for all forms of welfare within 30 days of arrival, unlike other immigrants and, you know, other people that enter the country through other ways.
Don, it's great to have you on the show. We've just started getting into the meat of this subject. And as you know, we've got to pay the bills, as most stations do, so I'm going to take another break for a couple of minutes, and I would ask you for your patience and waiting on the line for us to return, and we look forward to having some questions for you from our callers and some more information about this program. So if you want to stand by, please, and we'll come back.
Sure, sounds good.
Okay?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones such as the Android, iPhone, and others. So you can download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. Same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
We're back on Inside Tennessee, sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. We're talking with Don Barnett from the Center for Immigration Studies, and we invite you to call in and join us at our number, 718-305-7176. And I'm going to bring Don back on and talk a little bit more, and then I'm going to answer some of your calls once you ask him a question. So, Don, you're still with us, right?
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Again, I appreciate you being on here, and we just talked about the background of this refugee resettlement program, who the sponsors are, sometimes the UN, the State Department, businesses, et cetera. Probably nothing new there. And so the next thing I'd like to ask you, Don, is what is the role of Congress in this program? Can you tell us about that?
Well, Congress is technically, according to the law, supposed to lend its consent to the annual quota. Again, remember that quota, there's the president can say, I want 1 million refugees this year, and he can say, next year I only want 50. It's totally up to him. Congress is supposed to consent, but historically they do not. They have never questioned the numbers. They've never pushed back. And by the way, the numbers for this year are about 70,000 refugees. Congress never questions it, never pushes back. Occasionally, Congress does something really, to my mind, counterproductive. For instance, as we've said before, maybe I didn't mention it, to be a refugee, you have to be persecuted on the basis of religion, race, political view, nationality, or social group. By the way, as you can imagine, social group is a very wide thing you can drive a truck through. But basically, once in a while, Congress will say something, as they did a few years ago. They would say, well, any woman who in China has decided that she wants to have more than one child, we're going to call a member of a social group. So basically, they gave them the status of political class, which is one of the five categories for refugee status, political class. So they basically just opened up the refugee pipeline or the refugee golden highway to a whole group of people just by congressional fiat. So when they do get involved, they sometimes don't do all that well.
So we're rolling out the red carpet again. I mean,
exactly. And broadening the stream of people that are likely takers.
Well, Don, I'm not going to consume all the time we have by just being the only one who talks to you. We've got some callers, and I'm sure they'd like to have a comment or a question. So let's go to Kurt. He's been on for quite a while, and we're going to welcome Kurt to the program. And, Kurt, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, I am. And, listen, I got a message for you here, kind of sort of roundabout. Bing just told me in the chat over on Shred M that he needs a little help from you there. He's putting you in the chat, and you apparently are taking yourself out of it. I don't know much about this the studio operation, but if you can help him out there next time he puts you in the chat, if you can, just let yourself stay in there, okay?
Oh yeah,
well,
you know, we're just. Yeah, we're just trying to coordinate.
I don't have any chat screen on my my screen, so I'll see what I can do about that.
Yeah, it's just a radio thing. It's just when I take you off, like during the commercial breaks, just stay there and I'll put you back on live. But anyways, keep going. We do have a Paul has a question down here if you want to get to him.
Oh, I've got you in the chat room now. So there, just give me a little time to catch up on these technical issues here.
And no problem, man. You're doing a great job. So carry on.
Okay.
Paul's got a question down here, 406.
Okay.
Oh, Rob,
anybody on the line?
Yeah, Rob.
I'm still
here. Actually, my attention has been diverted to too many things here while the show's been going on. I know who you're talking to and what the subject is. But I heard you say ask if I had a question to ask. At this point, I really don't. I think I've heard and read enough on this issue that I pretty much know. I know what the problem is. I just don't have the answer, and that's what I wish I did have. Well, I know what the potential answers are, I think, but I don't know if we're going to get any politicians grow enough backbone to take the necessary steps to do anything about it.
Don, you want to
have
any response for Kurt?
Excuse me?
Is there anybody in Congress taking up any kind of action in any way, shape, or form against this program? Or are they all for it?
Well, it's partially a matter of education. Honestly, I've talked with senators, I've talked with congressmen. They don't know that much about the program. They have a vague idea that we're bringing in refugees, and then they say, well, there can't be anything wrong with refugees until a Tamerlane Tsarnaev comes along, and they start to look at it. But otherwise, they don't know much about the program. Where most of the action is happening is at the local level, because the costs are being pushed over to the local level, and local state legislatures are taking action and basically trying to say, gee, we want some voice in this. You're basically, you know, shifting the costs of the program onto the state taxpayer, and if anything is going to happen, it's going to happen at the local state legislatures, and there are a few initiatives around the country now.
So for our listeners, you heard the man say that it's going to be up to our state legislators and the state governments to protect us or take a stand for our individual states and even our cities against a program that doesn't even consider their consent or their approval.
Right. There's little consent with local officials before someone is resettled. Nashville, as an example, has become somewhat of a target city. Nashville itself, Metro Nashville, has taken more refugees than each of 29 states in the last 6 years. So Nashville is a big resettlement place. There was very little consultation with officials as to how we can handle health issues that come up, how we can handle is there enough public housing, so on and so forth. Can 10 care take it? about 60% of the refugees that came into to Tennessee in 2011, 60% went on to TennCare right away. Another 35% went on to another federal Medicaid, something like Medicaid, but not exactly. And many of them will go on to TennCare after that. So those are kind of the costs that the locals are having to deal with.
And how many times have we heard that? And still, the program seems to be enlarging. More resettlement, more refugees, no relief in sight. So we'll hold that thought for a moment. And callers, please stay on the line. We're going to return after a short break. And I will take calls from Paul, who's been waiting, and from Michael. So please all stand by for a moment, and I will return to you in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Inside Tennessee.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Inside Tennessee, sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. I invite you to call on the show and join the conversation at 718-305-7176. There are some callers on the line waiting, and I'm asking you to stand by, if you would please, for another moment. We'll be right back after this short 30-second break. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it and that experience, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding customer service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. then click on the LifeLog banner. You'll be very glad you did. We're still talking with Don Barnett from the Center for Immigration Studies, and we're talking about the Refugee Resettlement Program and the impact it has on our nation and our local communities, and to you, the taxpayer and citizen and employment seeker and the many other services available to an American, our citizens, who may be in a different position in that line. But nevertheless, there is need. There is some religious organizations that are sharing their compassion and attending to the needs of those who have nowhere to go but to the USA. So we'll get back in line with Don and take a question from Paul. Don, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to Michael first. He's been on hold for a while. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling the show.
Yes, sir. I've got a question for Paul. It seems like we're getting a disproportionate amount of Mohammedans in Tennessee. I'm wondering how many, what percentage of the refugees are Mohammedan, Christian, Sikh, or other?
Right.
John, do you
well,
have those numbers?
It's kind of rule of thumb is back in the early 1990s, then the proportion of Muslim refugees was about zero. It started creeping up in the mid-90s, and by 9/11, it was about 45%. 45% were Muslim. It went down a little bit after that, and now it's probably back to about 40%. So 40% Muslim, either Muslim countries for the most part. And ironically, we tend to take more Muslims from Muslim countries than we do Christians fleeing Muslim countries. But as far as the breakdown in Nashville, historically over the long haul, because it's been going on for about 25 years in Nashville, I'd be hard for us to really, because we're taking now a lot of Bhutanese and Burmese that tend to be Buddhist, but pretty close to half, I would say, have been Muslim or of the Islamic faith coming into Nashville, coming into Tennessee.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Michael. And so we have another question from a caller named Paul who's on the line. Can you hear me, Paul?
The host, but I can hear the guest much better. The host could be on another planet, as far as I can tell. Anyway,
you mean as far as what? By the sound? The sound that
yeah,
you're
right. It's just
or?
really faint.
Wow,
but okay. I can hear Mr. Barnett substantially better. Anyway, I just wanted
well,
to.
I hope
if you can hear me okay.
Go ahead.
Don, 10 years ago. Hello?
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
Hello? Okay,
yeah,
well,
I'm
let's
here.
Go ahead then. Okay. 10 years ago, I was at a meeting organized by the Claremont Institute. It was down in Southern California. The meeting was about immigration, assimilation, and citizenship. And at the meeting, I was introduced to a man named Jan Ting, who is then and now a professor of law at Temple University in Philadelphia. But I learned from the introduction that he had been the assistant commissioner of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the old INS, back in the days of the first President Bush, back around 1990 to 92, I think it was. And when I learned of his high position in the subject of immigration, so I immediately asked him, is it true what I'd heard before, that 90% of refugee and asylum cases are fraudulent? And he didn't miss a beat. He said 95% are. And, well, that's always stuck with me. I know a lot about immigration in general, and most of it is an abuse of the American people. And I think the refugee and asylum programs are another massive abuse. And I wonder, does your guest have a different take on it, or does he agree, or whatever?
Well, it's certainly very easy to fake somebody out, especially when all you have to do is say, I'm persecuted on the basis of membership in a social class. By the way, they've let all sorts of things go under that category of social class, including domestic abuse. Now, honestly, how the U.S. could be expected to respond to the needs of every person around the world who suffers from domestic abuse is beyond me. But any kind of even cultural practices such as female genital mutilation is sort of almost on automatic grounds for admission as a refugee. So there's that kind of expansion of definition. And then there's outright fraud. Yes, regularly the UN uncover scandals of selling positions in the refugee program to the highest bidder. And yes, there's lawyers who specialize in telling you what the best line is for you to hear for the INS that will speed your way along. Yes, there's massive fraud in the system, just massive.
Okay,
I mean, for heaven's sakes, President Obama's aunt is hardly a legitimate asylum seeker, yet she was given asylum on the same basis of other refugees that come in.
Okay, thank you.
Paul, does that answer your question? Or do you have another question?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. That's
a good anecdote. That's a good anecdote. I hadn't heard 99% fraudulent, but we know it's quite high.
Well, Don, are you hearing me okay? Because these callers are telling me they can't hear me very well, and I've made some adjustments.
It's still a little faint. Can you hear me? It's faint, but I can hear you.
No, I hear you perfectly. And
you're definitely not clear. You're definitely not clear, but I can hear you.
Well, I guess that's kind of how it goes when you're in the barrel for the first time, as they say. I didn't seem to have any problems practicing, but nevertheless, we're going to move on. And of course, what better time to move on than when you take another break? It seems like these breaks are very frequent and very often. So I'm going to ask if you'd just stand by. We've got some more time. I've got a couple more questions, and perhaps we'll get some more callers before our time is up. So
great.
Please stand by, and we'll be back in a moment, okay? Thank you. You're listening to Inside Tennessee. I'm your host, Rob Hathaway, and I hope you can hear me. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. Please call in and join the conversation at 718-305-7176. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffian comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on Conservative Nation Radio. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B 2. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
on the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. This is your host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance. We're talking to Don Barnett on the refugee resettlement issue, nationally as well as locally. Our number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. Give us a call, and we'll do our best to answer your question with our subject matter expert, Don Barnett. Don, I have another question I'd like to pose to you, and then we'll take another call, if that's all right.
Sure.
Who determines where refugees are placed? And please don't say the UN.
Excuse me, can you repeat that, Rob?
Yes, of course. Who determines where refugees are placed or resettled?
Oh, right. That's pretty much the work of the contractors themselves. There's 10 major contracting groups. They get together every quarter, and they basically decide where it goes. It's pretty much their word. There is some verbiage about how they're going to be consulting with the state refugee coordinator. But in Tennessee, the state refugee coordinator happens to be an employee of the contractor, so it's a classic case of conflict of interest. But really, it is the contractors themselves who decide where refugees are to be placed.
Contractors.
Right.
And who actually contracts, or who enables or licenses or provides the contract to these contractors? State Department?
Yes, it's the State Department. Yes, the State Department. They basically, the contractors compete for a bid for business, just like Lockheed Martin might compete for a bid to build the next, F-35 or whatever. And they, based on what they can offer and what they claim they've done, that's partially the way it goes. But basically, there's 9 contractors out there. They all start, or most of them started, started as a result of World War II, when, as I said, we were also welcoming refugees, but not for pay, and they were true sponsors. They're no longer sponsors now. So the contractors are groups like U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, our Conference of Catholic Bishops, Lutheran Immigration Refugee Services, or Lutheran groups, Hebrew Aid Society, Immigrant Aid Society, HIAS, Episcopal Migration Services. They're pretty much most of them. IRC, International Rescue Committee, is one of the larger ones as well. Church World Services. Those are the kind of the heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters, all right. Well, we've got another caller. Jerry's on the line with a question. Hello, Jerry, and welcome to Inside Tennessee. Do you have a question or comment for our guest, Don Barnett?
Hey, Rob, it's Jerry Williams. I'd just like to call in
thank our guest for his input. I'd like to add to what he was saying, that these contractors get paid a good buck for the people they place also. But I wanted to remind all our listeners that, you know, we had the States' Rights Committee meeting on August 21st at 8:30 in the morning. This is our opportunity as citizens to have a voice in our government. And, folks, if we don't support this committee, it's going to disappear. So if there's any way you can be in Nashville at 8:30 on August 21st, be there. We need to support this committee. All the things we're talking about tonight fall under this, and it can be guided by states' rights. This stuff is unconstitutional. Whether anybody wants to agree with that or not, it is unconstitutional. And it's up to our state to defend us. And if they don't defend us, nobody defends us. And we have to back the politicians that are trying to work for us. Judd Matheny heads up this committee. He's a great conservative. He's a good guy. And we need to back this, and we need to support it, or we are going to lose it. And that's basically all I have to say. And thanks again to our guest for his input and the information he's given us. And to you, Rob,
Jerry, before
you
go,
show. He's done a great job.
Amen to that. That's for sure.
Before you go, Jerry, can you tell us the information that got to be at the Nashville State Legislature on what, August 21st at 8 o'clock?
It's August 21st at 8:30 in the morning. That's going to be the meeting of the States' Rights Committee. And we have to support that committee. We have to show all our legislatures that we, the people, are behind it. The legislatures that are running the committee already know that they're great conservatives and they stand with us. And we have to stand with them.
Yes,
that's
so true.
Reminder, Jerry. Thank you very much for the call, Jerry. You have a good rest of the night.
And you too. Take care.
Thank you. Don, I've got one more question for you before we have to end our discussion. I wish we could spend more time. I'm sure you'll be back on the show again as a guest with this very intriguing topic. I want to ask you a question about how is Nashville involved? If you could just share some information with that before we have to end our segment tonight.
Well, most of the refugees that come into Tennessee are resettling in Metro Nashville, and that's just the way it is. As a matter of fact, like I was saying, the Metro Nashville takes more than each of 29 states. In fact, a little interesting sidebar here: Joe Biden was the sponsor of the original refugee bill, which is what we operate under now. His state, Delaware, does not take any refugees. They've maybe taken 6 refugees in the last 5 or 6 years. At the same time, Metro Nashville alone has taken about 6,000 refugees. So it just gives you an idea of perspective here. Yeah, absolutely.
6,000 refugees in Nashville. And yet the
liberals
do what's good for us, but not for themselves. So we are, you know, the doors are open to our cities, but their cities, or the doors remain shut and probably will remain so in the future.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
Well, one more question. I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but I need to ask you, do you know if the Boston Bombers came into this country under this refugee resettlement program?
They didn't come in directly as refugees resettled from overseas, because refugees generally are resettled from overseas, but they came in under the exact same law which governs all refugee resettlement. That is, they arrived here, or his father arrived here, and said, gee, I'm a refugee, I'm an asylum seeker, I'm persecuted because of my nationality, please give me asylum status. It's a different word. It's called asylum, but it's the exact
asylum,
it's governed by the same bill. And people wonder, why that one Tamerlane had taken something like $100,000 worth of welfare before he set off the bombs. And people wonder, how could that happen? Well, that's because as an asylum seeker, you have the same rights and privileges as a refugee. And, yes, they definitely came in under the program. There are many people like that, not just him. He's, you know, an extreme example recently. But back in 94, Ramzi Youssef used the program. He was the first Twin Towers bomber. There's perpetrators of the Rwanda genocide who came in under the refugee status as asylum seekers or refugees. It's not the first and won't be the last. So you definitely came in under that program.
Wow. And more to come, probably.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the latest is that the southern border is being overwhelmed by people who are saying, I'm fleeing drug cartel violence. And basically, they aren't being granted automatically asylum, but they are being able to use that to get into the country and sort of then be let go into the community and come back later for a court date. It's the numbers have apparently gone through the roof. And we haven't really even talked about asylum. We've talked about refugees, but asylum is pretty much just the other side of the coin. It's the same thing, but for people that have already arrived in the country.
Don, do you have a website that listeners can go to and research more of this information or find out more about your organization?
No, I don't. I'm just a researcher, and I do not have a website.
Okay.
No. I occasionally write something in the press, but...
Well, you'll have to come back on the show real soon again and have another conversation with our other host when he returns.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We
There's a lot more to talk about.
Time.
Great.
I hate to let you go, but it's our time's up. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for providing that pertinent information.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, you're listening to Inside Tennessee, sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council. The number to our show, where you can call in and join the conversation, is 718-305-7176. In just a moment, we're going to talk with Bev Berger. She is an alderman from the city of Franklin here in Tennessee, and we're going to talk to her momentarily about Agenda 21. And I'm going to welcome her to the show before we take a break. As soon as we say hello, we just have to do that. Hi, Bev. Can you hear me?
Hey, Rob. Yes, I can. Thanks for having me
Very
on.
Very nice. Oh, thanks for being here. You're a brave woman to come on at my first time guest hosting.
Hey, my first time here, too.
Well, good. It should be great. It's going to be fun. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about you first, Bev, and if I forget anything, feel free to add to it, okay?
Sure.
Bev was elected to her first term on the Board of Mayors and Aldermen in 2005 and reelected in 2009. She currently serves as Vice Chair of the Finance and Budget Committee and serves on the City Beer Board. Previously, she served as Vice Mayor and was Chairman of Public Safety and a member of the Public Enterprise Committee. She has recently initiated a major housing market study and trend analysis for the city of Franklin that is expected to be completed by consultants in the fall of 2013. And Bev, again, welcome. We've got a couple of minutes before we have to go to our first break, but we're going to talk about Agenda 21. Is something you can tell us about that sounds like a UN-driven or UN-sponsored program, much like the refugee resettlement program. So we've got now two topics, UN-related. You want to tell us a little bit about it in about 2 minutes?
Well, let me just give you a quick couple definitions of what people say it is and also what Agenda 21 that has been implemented and started by the United Nations says it is. UN Agenda 21 is basically a sustainable development in a way, and is the action plan basically for implementing a worldwide inventory and control over our land, water, minerals, plants, animals, all construction, all means of productivity, energy, education, information, and basically all human beings in the world. It's about inventory, it's about control, it's about wealth, it's about mainly just controlling our environment and our people. And
so life.
Yeah, all of life. And
generally speaking, life. Yeah.
Yeah, generally. And the slogan, I might want to just read you a slogan here that I read on your website. The slogan of the UN Agenda 21 is, protect the rights of the future generations and all the species against the potential crimes of the present. Interesting.
crimes. We're committing crimes just by being here, are we not?
Yeah, according to the agenda 21, our crime is breathing. It's if it's not a declaration of entitlement, or I don't know what you know. I'm not sure what to make of all this. Sometimes it's a daunting task just reading through it. But you know, you get into the weeds of this thing, and it's just mind-boggling.
Indeed. Well, Bev, we've come on quickly upon our first break. If I could ask you, please, to stay on the line, and we'll have about a two-minute commercial break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk some more about this lovely program sponsored by the United Nations, okay?
Sure, Rob.
Thanks, Bev. Talk to you in a couple minutes. Thank you.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. This is your host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance, who's off tonight. We're talking with Alderman Bev Berger from the city of Franklin, and we're assessing Agenda 21. And we're going to get to some of your questions in just a moment. Please call in to join the conversation. Our number is 718-305-7176. Welcome back, Bev. Are you there?
I am, Rob. I'm right here.
Very nice.
Wait,
thank Very
you for your
nice.
Question.
Well, we are going to have a couple callers on the line. We're going to go to, looks like Simon is on first. Simon, hello. Do you have a question for Bev or a comment?
Hey, I quickly wanted to tell you a little backstory and then to my question, if that was all right.
You got about a minute.
All right. You know the left. Quite a few leftist parties are now subsidizing adverts and using them to kind of broadcast leftist messages within inside the adverts. Like, there's this pickle company the left recently took over, and they've been broadcasting this. Hickory dickory dock, that pickle looks just like my cock. And when I start joking, my 14-inch cocking, I get...
Okay, we're not going to tolerate that kind of language. That was a...
Wow, hey, Rob, you've outdone yourself for my first caller.
Pardon me?
I said you've outdone yourself for my first caller.
Well, I don't know which one of us is attracting that kind of a, you know,
don't
feel.
Blame that on
I certainly
me.
Don't know it's not you.
You know what? Agenda
Lexus,
20 Brun brings that out on everyone, huh?
Yes, yes. So I almost, you know, was going to ask Simon where he's from, but I know he's in the sewer. And we will not tolerate or, you know, allow those callers to have any airtime. My apologies to you, Bev, and our listeners.
Let's get on with
regret
it.
Attracting. Okay, well, that's right. Let's not give him any more of his due. Okay,
right.
I've got another caller now. I'm going to really have to be careful on this. We got George is calling in, and he's got a question. Hello, George.
Oh, hey. Are
you there?
I am.
Yes, you are. You're on with Bev Berger.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
Go ahead, George.
How are you doing today?
Thank you for calling. Well, thank you.
Well, now I'm just curious if you read the same article I read out of the Huffington Post, you know, that left-leaning online newspaper.
Is it about Agenda 21?
It's about this strange ritual that the left are doing, some sort of like pseudo-satanic ritual, and it's really, really odd and creepy. And I'm curious on your opinions on it.
Okay.
I don't have anything to do with Agenda 21, and we're actually here to talk about Agenda 21, so
you're talking about Agenda 21, because the person in the screening room said I would be able to ask a question. I didn't know you were talking about a specific topic, though.
Yeah.
But we could talk about that.
Yeah,
We
don't have a screening room, so there's, I don't know who you spoke to, but we're talking about the UN Agenda 21.
Are you familiar with Agenda 21?
With Agenda 21? Yeah. I mean, I'm from Colorado, but I have heard of it on the news.
Well, what do you know about it? Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing, or do you have not opinion?
Well, I mean, I think it depends. You know, the United Nations, I think they mean well, and I think they're trying to do good. But I don't think that it could actually be feasible. And I think in actuality, it's going to be worse off than it was prior after they implement this.
Well,
okay, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, George. Then we're going to move on to the caller. Hey, George, thanks for calling. Please call back. Have a good evening. We've got another caller, Bev. His name is Mike. Let's see if we can get somebody who's going to talk about Agenda 21. Mike, thanks for calling in. Can you hear us? And if you have a question or comment.
Hey, man. So I was looking at the Agenda 21 thing, the Earth Summit recently, you know, the United Nations, blah, blah, blah. And the one that stuck out really towards me was Section 1, surprisingly enough, which was... you know, the section devoted directly to combating poverty, especially in the developing countries, changing consumer patterns, promoting health, and achieving a more stable population.
Right.
Now, the problem I have with this is that they don't actually have a plan to implement that problem. There's no plan for it. I've read through the Agenda 21, and it's all well and good, but their plans, Section 1 has no feasible plan. They're trying to combat poverty, which we've been trying to do inside our own country for the past God knows how many years, and it hasn't worked here. How the hell is it going to work in other countries? You know, if we can't even sort out our own poverty levels, how are we meant to support Egypt, you know, Egypt, Brazil, you know, all these other countries? We can't do it. It's simply impossible.
That's right.
Well, what they're trying
right.
to do, and through Agenda 21, is to take from the haves and give to the have-nots as redistribution of wealth, redistribution of resources, and I've read Agenda 21. It's all of 238, I forget how many pages, 200 and some pages. And it's quite an eye-opener. And as you start reading it, I mean, there's some really great things that they say about, you know, helping to protect their environment and do all these wonderful things that I think lots of sensible people want for our countries to sustain our development, sustain our environment, our good air quality, our good water quality, and things of that nature. And then you're talking about, but then as you get into it, it gets deeper and deeper, and then you see their agenda. And what you're talking about for trying to help the poor, they look at countries, like look at America and 33 other developed countries and say, we have too much.
Yeah.
We do too well. We live a life of ease, according to them. And so then we need to start giving over our wealth and giving over our resources to help these other countries and help these other peoples. Well, the other countries and people around the world that are not enjoying wealth, or when I say wealth, I mean I'm talking about food and shelter and things of that nature that make our life sustainable and healthy. When they don't have that, they seek it out. That's why so many people come to America. They seek those things out. But what Agenda 21 wants to do, their ultimate goal is to pull down the people and the countries that have worked so hard for these things, instead of raising up the other countries and the other peoples.
Totally.
And so instead of working together to do that, they're trying to level the playing field by taking and giving away and trying to redistribute the wealth and the resources.
Yeah,
it also sounds like a way to get their hands into our pocketbooks through taxation. If they can make the case that their program isn't working, why don't they try ours? Tax the rich and give to those who don't pay any taxes and only receive.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
you know, and they talk about
want to stamp out world hunger.
Yeah, and they talk about social equity in this as well.
We can
get into social equity if you'd like to.
No, I'm fine with
that.
No worries, man. Anytime.
Have a great evening. Thank you. We're going to take a short break, Bev. We're going to take a short break and come back in about 30 seconds, and we'll take another call, and then we'll continue our discussion, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Bev. Be back in a moment. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends of Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. We're going to come back with Bev Berger to talk more about UN Agenda 21. And I have some more questions, but we'll first take a call. If you want to be on the show and have a question for Bev, call in and join the conversation at 718-305-7176. Got another question, another caller on the line, Bev. You ready to take another question?
Sure.
Okay. And we're going to talk to Ron. He's been on the line for a couple of minutes. Hey, Ron, can you hear us? And
yes, sir.
Ahead with a question or comment, please.
Yeah, I don't actually live in Tennessee. I live in Catoosa County, which is abuts Tennessee. And our county is part of the, used to be called the 16 county 40-year regional plan. And now it's called Thrive 2055. Are you familiar with Thrive 2055?
No, I'm not. But a lot of these counties and communities are having plans that they, you know, give a name to. Nashville has called Nashville Next, is what their plan
is. I'm sure it's the same. It's the same group. It's a cookie cutter design that they placed all over the country, as I understand it. And if you would go and look at Thrive 2055 and look in, it'd take you a little while to find all this stuff. But these people are ushering UN sanction and UN control into America. America is going to lose its property rights, individual property rights. You're gonna pay for your home, but the UN is going to be able to control it if we don't stop this stuff. And there's been several counties and communities across the nation that have refused this Agenda 21 stuff. They've just changed their name. They don't call themselves Agenda 21 anymore. Now it's sustainable things and
right.
Stack and pack housing. I mean, there's all kinds of weird names that they've got. But you're right. It, at the base, it is Agenda 21, just like this Thrive 2055. And I live in a county that's going to be uninhabitable for humans. They have, if you look at their maps that they've got set up, Catoosa County is going to be one of those refuges where animals can live and things. What are we going to do about this stuff?
Well,
Ron, Ron, hold on. Sorry, I really am sorry for cutting you off, but we have to take another break. And if you just stay on the line, I'll keep you on the line, and we'll take the break, and we'll come back to you, okay?
We're hanging on.
Please stand by, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. This is your host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance. We welcome your calls at 718-305-7176. To answer your questions or listen to your comment, we're still speaking with Bev Berger. She's a alderman from Ward 1 in the city of Franklin, answering some questions about Agenda 21. And before we go to our next caller, Bev, I'm just going to ask you another question or two. To get some more background information. So now you hear a lot or something about this ICELI, that International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe what it's trying to bring into our municipalities and our cities, maybe even practically?
Sure. Yeah. It's called ICLEI, and you're right. It's basically arm of the UN, of Agenda 21, and it is, what's it stand for? It's International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, and it was actually created as a non-governmental spinoff of the United Nations around 1990, I believe, and it was created to implement Agenda 21 across the world, actually. And it's got a membership organization in cities about over 7,000 worldwide. I think that was like back in 2012. They're headquartered in Germany, and it's basically a lobbying and policy group that's intended to influence and change local government policies related to, as I said before, all aspects of human life. It's designed, and let me just say something real quick before I say any more. Franklin, Tennessee, a few years back, joined ICLEI. People, we really, honestly, the people in our staff around there didn't really give it a thought. They thought it was a good thing to join for information and sharing information with other communities. And I went to our mayor and city administrator and said, look, I said, we do not need to be in ICLEI. ICLEI is not a good thing, and it may look like it's something helpful on the surface, but it's not. And I said to them, I said, we really need to get out of ICLEI. So lo and behold, we have gotten out of ICLEI. And one of the things I told our mayor, or I actually asked our mayor a couple years ago if he was familiar with Agenda 21, and he said very unfamiliar with it, but, you know, he had heard of it, but he was not that familiar with it. And I told Mr. Mayor, I said, listen, that's a good thing. You're telling me that you don't know that much about it, so that's a good thing because you're saying that you're not, you know, going down the rabbit trail after Agenda 21. But on the same breath, I said it's a bad thing because it means that we're not educated on it. And so we do need to educate, you know, our city council and our people that work in our city about that. It's very important. But I wanted just to say that ICLEI, it is a system that basically it's a lobbying policy group that wants to influence our local governments in our local towns and states. And they do a ton of things. But we could get into that a little later if you'd like. Do you have another call or do you want to just talk about it?
Well, yeah, we got several callers on the line. We've got time for one more call on this topic, and we're going to move on. We have another guest scheduled to come on, Bev, and we sure hope you'll come back. I'm not telling us it's time to end our segment right now, but I sure hope you'll come back and be a guest in future editions of Inside Tennessee.
Sure, because there is things to talk about for Agenda 21. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Let's go to Johnny B., who has a question. He's been holding for a while. Hello, Johnny. Can you hear?
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
That's not a question. So we got another one of those, Bev. You know, it must be these UN folks. It's kind of getting kind of scary over here. So we got a caller from Georgia. His name is Joe. We can hear his question. Joe, are you there? Yeah, hi, Joe.
Yeah.
You got a question?
Yeah. I'm the director of the refugee resettlement. I'm the director of the anti-refugee resettlement program here in Georgia. And we're gearing up down here and watching very carefully what you're doing there in Tennessee. And with regard to the UN, the refugees that they're importing into this country, which is 80,000 of them a year, are selected by the UN. And we've discovered there's a tremendous amount of corruption in the selection process, the bribes and payoffs, and that's how people get on the list to come into our community. And plus, in these refugee camps, we were finding that people were relocate from another country and then migrate into the refugee camp so they can get on the admission list to America. Of course, the purpose is to ultimately get on the American welfare system. and it's costing us, we've been able to peg $17 million in state and local welfare as of 2 years ago.
Wow.
And that's not counting secondary migration. We've become a magnet for refugees from all over the country who flock into Georgia. And so we've got to cut this off. And plan is, well, refugee resettlement is a three-legged stool. It requires federal, state, and charitable money.
Mm-hmm.
And this first came to the attention of our governor, Nathan Deal, from an extremely liberal Democrat whose house district here in Georgia was being flooded with refugees. And when he heard about that, and later I talked to him about it, he told the federal government he didn't want any more refugees. And that was a big first step. And the next step, of course, is to cut their money off from the legislature. I've done a number of record requests and beginning to understand the program. And I had a meeting with the governor on July 30th and told him about how the money was being ill spent and wasted. And the program has just turned into a gigantic fraudulent scheme to cheat the taxpayers of Georgia out of welfare money. And in the third
Joe, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry, I'm out of time for this segment. We appreciate your call and your comments, and we hope that you will continue this conversation with your local officials and other talk radio websites. And Ben, I want to thank you too for joining us on Inside Tennessee. We have to go to our another segment and keep in time with our program for this evening. So thank you, Bev, for joining us, and I hope you'll come back on the show again in the near future.
Sure, because there's a lot to talk about with Agenda 21, and I'll be glad to.
We can devote some more time to it on another segment, I'm sure. Thank you, Bev. Bye-bye now. Well, my next guest on Inside Tennessee is Laurie Cardoza-Moore. She's a president and producer of an organization called Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And we're going to talk to her about what seems to be another UN-driven agenda for our school system, and that would be Common Core. Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm doing well also. It's been a busy Monday. And, of course, I'm taking a bit of a break to join you all this evening and then get back to work. We've got some breaking news with regards to the textbook issue in Tennessee, specifically Williamson County, but, of course, it's a problem all over the state. So I look forward to updating you guys on what's going on. In fact, I received an email earlier from one of my colleagues, and apparently we had been told initially that the textbook that we have a problem with here in Williamson County, published by Pearson Prentice Hall, they misled Williamson County schools and told them that they were going to remove the anti-Semitic quote that has raised the concern of many parents here in Williamson County. And I found out today that the quote has not been removed, in fact, from the textbook, that Pearson's latest edition that is also being peddled to our Tennessee Textbook Commission still has the same anti-Semitic quote in it.
Wow.
And, just to bring your listeners up to speed, Rob, in case they're not familiar with what's going on in Williamson County, last November, a friend of mine and a member of the organization Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and your listeners can go to our website at pjtn.org. I encourage them while they're there to sign the petition to remove the anti-Semitic textbook from Williamson County schools. But her son came home from school. It was November 29th. And, of course, I remember that day well. I think you know, Rob, that I also serve as a special envoy at the United Nations to the World Council of Independent Christian Churches. And
yes, Laurie, I do.
My responsibility.
Can we hold there? Can you hold that thought, Laurie? I'm sorry to break in on you, Laurie. Can I ask you to hold there for a minute? We're going to take another break, up against a hard break. When we come back, you'll have the rest of our 20 more minutes to talk further. So if I could ask you to please stay on the line and stand by, we'll come back and talk in just a few minutes, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want to supply a depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that.
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Well, welcome back to Inside Tennessee. This is your host, Rob Hathaway, sitting in for Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. And if you want to call in and be a member of the show, please call our number, 7176. We're talking with Lori Cardoza Moore, who's producer and president of PJTN, that's Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And she left off with telling us about her role as a spokesperson for another organization. You want to pick up where we left off there, Lori?
Absolutely. So,
thank you.
As I had mentioned in the first break, or before the that break, I serve as a special envoy at the United Nations for the World Council of Independent Christian Churches, and my mission there is to speak out against human rights abuses against Jews, Christians, including Muslim women and children. And so the mother of the student that was in Williamson County Schools, Franklin High School, came home from school on November 29th, which was also the same day that Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinians, was in the, at the UN seeking the vote on the non-member state status of the Palestinians. Well, that particular day at Franklin High School, that the human geography AP teacher decided to speak or teach on terrorism in the classroom, on the chapter on terrorism, she had invited a guest speaker to come and speak to her students, who she thought was qualified, that she thought he was an expert on the Middle East. After all, he had been there a couple of times, and he had just graduated with his master's in reconciliation and he also had a minor in Middle East studies. So I guess she assumed that he would be, an acceptable, articulate speaker, spokesperson on the topic of the Middle East. Well, the teacher also handed out some handouts from another textbook. They were copies of another textbook that was published back in 2004. It was John Wiley and Sons, who actually happens to be one of the Pearson Publishers textbooks. But the student came home from school that day confused. And this is a student who was raised in a strong Christian home. He came home and asked his mom, he said, "Mom, who does the land of Israel really belong to?" And she said to him, "You know who it belongs to." And he said, "No, I know who biblically, who the Bible says the land of Israel belongs to, but really, who historically has rights to the land?" And that's when the mother began to start digging into what her son was learning in school. Come to find out, in reviewing her son's textbook and in reviewing the handout, there was an anti-Semitic quote in the textbook. And basically, this quote stated that distinguishing terrorism from acts of political violence can be difficult. Then it goes into using an example, and it says, for example, if a Palestinian suicide bomber blows up Israeli teenagers in a Jerusalem restaurant, is that terrorism or political violence against army actions and the government, the Israeli government? And it says, competing arguments are made where advocates or sympathizers, Israel sympathizers, condemn it as terrorism. But advocates for the Palestinian cause call it political violence because it's in retaliation for Israeli government policies and army actions. And, of course, when the parents saw this quote, she was extremely disturbed. Their family is Jewish. They have Jewish ancestry. And, of course, they were offended. And they raised the issue. Of course, she had contacted me and asked me if I would come and join her in a meeting with the administration at Franklin High School, which, of course, I accepted to do. And we met with the leadership at the school. We expressed our concerns. Of course, the parent had done more research into the textbook. Not only was it anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, but it was also anti-Christian, pro-Islam. It did not portray Judaism and Christianity favorably. And there were many other numerous problems. It was anti-capitalist, pro-Marxist. So as we had gone over all of these concerns with the principal, the teacher, as well as the curriculum superintendent for Williamson County Schools, we were basically told that there is a process for textbook reconsideration. And the superintendent of curriculum said, "I am it, and I am not removing this textbook from Williamson County Schools." And so we excused ourselves from that meeting. And, of course, the next day, both the parent and I got on the phone and started contacting the superintendent of schools here in Williamson County, Dr. Mike Looney, as well as several members of the school board to express our shock about the way we were treated in the meeting. At the end of the meeting, the superintendent of curriculum accused us of being anti-Muslim.
Right.
And just for coming and expressing our concerns over content in this textbook. Well, needless to say, after speaking with the superintendent of schools the next day, he had stated that he would get back to me. He would look into it, and he would get back to me. Well, that was December, beginning of December, when we had the meeting and when we contacted our school board members. I didn't hear back before the holiday, and I assumed, well, they're all busy. I'll wait till after the holidays. So January came along, then February, then March, and into April, I contacted the parent and asked, I said, "Has anything happened with the textbook? Have you heard anything?" And she
Lori.
Said, "No."
Lori?
Yes.
You know, believe it or not, you know what time it is. we've really enjoyed you telling us about this this process and these events. We're going to leave it there for another minute. I'm going to go to a break and come right back, and then we'll have about 10 minutes more on the air so you can bring us up to date on where we are now and maybe what local residents who have children in the school system can do.
Absolutely.
After you finish your story. Okay, if you just hold on for another 30 seconds, I'll be right back, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. The left can't stand the Second Amendment, an American's right to keep their arms. And now there's something else they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on Conservative Nation Radio with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of experience with firearms and our Second Amendment rights to Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, starting August 7th. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. We're talking with Lori Cardoza-Moore from Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. Her website is pjtn.org. She's talking to us about some textbooks that are being taught in the classes of Williamson County Public Schools that have contained and remain anti-Semitic. And the process to remove that textbook is underway. I believe we're at a stage of having it appealed because the initial response from the school board was to deny that removal. And so Lori has told us how we got to where we are now, and I'm going to just ask Lori to speak further about the issue. And please call in to join the show. I'm sure Lori would love to field and answer a question. Our number is 718-305-7176, and you can be part of the show. So please give us a call. Hey, Lori, we're back.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, I want to encourage. Okay. I want to encourage your listeners.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
No, please. We're going to have another minute before I got to break again, and then we're going to come back. 5 more minutes.
Okay. Very good. Well, I want to encourage again the listeners to go to our website at pjtn.org, sign the petition there, and we're going to need parents, if you are listening to this show and you're in driving distance of Williamson County, we need parents to show up. This is not a problem just in Williamson County, Tennessee. It is a problem throughout our state and across this country. Because remember, Pearson Publishers, as well as all these other textbook companies, are the problem. They are the ones that are putting this type of propaganda in our children's textbooks, and they are indoctrinating our children. So, Rob, it's critically important that we as parents engage in this battle. And with kids starting back to school, parents need to ask their kids to bring their history, social studies, and geography textbooks home to review.
Okay. Lori, we're going to have to not leave it there entirely, but for the next break, we'll leave it there. And when we come back in a couple of minutes, we can take about 3 or 4 minutes to wrap it up, okay?
You got it.
Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones such as the Android, iPhone, and others. So you can download our podcast or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. Same great shows, same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Our number is 718-305-7176. We're on the line with Lori Cardoza Moore, and we're going to get back to Lori right away for more of her comments. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Rob.
Can you tell us real quickly, in about a minute, what remains to be done, what we can do in the very near future?
Well, we originally had requested the textbook removed. We filed the forms necessary. The special ad hoc committee who reviewed my request denied my request. We have filed an appeal. This coming Monday night, there is going to be a school board meeting in Williamson County, and they are to take this issue up. Now, we don't know what the result of the meeting is going to be. It could be anything. Their response could be anything from going along with the special ad hoc committee and not removing the textbook, or they will remove the textbook. They could even consider, I have heard, removing the class completely. But we're still not sure at this point what their action is going to be. But, you know, Rob, this is a problem, as I said before the break, this is a problem across the country. And here in Tennessee, we have momentum. In fact, the information that we presented to the school board is the same information submitted to the state legislature, to members of our state legislature. They were appalled and shocked at the content of the information being used to indoctrinate our children in Tennessee schools, and they are taking action. I expect that Tennessee is going to lead the charge on this issue, and it's critically important because it's not just this one textbook that we're dealing with. There are 17 other textbooks that are as equally egregious as this one. And it's critically important that we as parents be educated. So I'm going to encourage your parents. For those of you who could attend the meeting, we need boots on the ground, period. We also need for you to ask your children to bring their textbooks home. Open up the textbooks to the Middle East section. Review what the textbooks say. Make sure that the information is accurate and that it's presented from a Judeo-Christian worldview. And then also, when you find these textbooks that are problematic, we need for you to contact us at pjtn.org to let us know what you have found. Turn to the religious, the comparative religions part of the textbook. Review what is said about Christianity and Judaism and Islam. You will be amazed at how Christianity in some textbooks is titled as the Crusaders. Another textbook has 27 pages dedicated to Islam in one chapter, and there are no chapters on Judaism or Christianity. So if we as parents do not rise up and demand that our education system provide an accurate historical, archaeological, legal, and biblical perspective of the Middle East and what's happening in this Israeli-Arab conflict, then they will use the same arguments against us and our legal rights here in the West, in the United States of America. It's crucial. This is the next generation. And if we lose our children, this is another year. That's why this textbook is unacceptable to even use another year. And with what we found out, the textbook, although it may be coming out in a new edition, is basically the same garbage, just moved and repositioned on the page. And in the chapter, in order to make us think that, you know, these kids are getting a different textbook. It's unacceptable, Rob. And it's
okay,
time
Lori.
For parents to rise up.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you for being on the show, Lori. You've given us quite a bit of information to absorb and some to act on. Did you mention the next school board meeting or the next time that the citizens can engage the local officials?
The next school board meeting in Williamson County is August 19th, 6 p.m., 1320 West Main Street, downtown Franklin.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate you being on tonight, and I hope you have a rich rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, Rob. God bless you, and thank you for the opportunity to be on the show with you tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. I've got another caller who's on the line, and welcome to Inside Tennessee. To whom am I speaking, please?
Hi, Rob. This is Barbara, Women Patriots.
Hi, Barbara.
How are you?
Well, I'm very doing very well, I think.
You are doing very well. you sound very well, anyway.
As do you.
Yeah, it's a great topic, that Agenda 21, with the Common Core. I'm actually trying to get the lieutenant governor from North Carolina on my show because he speaks out so much about the Common Core, and he's really fighting it. So anyway, yeah, it's a great topic.
Hallelujah.
Really need to know what's going on. But anyway, for tomorrow night on Woman Patriots at 8 o'clock, we have Chip Jones, who writes for Conservative Report Online. And Chip has been writing for quite a while, and he's been investigating since December of 2012, Benghazi, and what was really, you know, what really happened. And mm-hmm. he came out with the big bombshell about Valerie Jarrett. It was confirmed by more than one source. So he will be on the show tomorrow talking to us about that. And hopefully the president will hear us, and so will the rest of the senators and congressmen, so they can finally do something. Because I, for one, I'm sick and tired of the lies and then being swept under the carpet for something stupid to come up, and we will focus on that and lose focus on what the real problem is. So anyway, Women
Patriots.
Let's hope
they're listening. Yes.
I know. Women Patriots tomorrow night, right here on www.conservativenationradiomedia.com. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, and I look forward to listening to your show.
Well, thanks, Rob. You have a good evening.
Thank you kindly, Bob. You do the same.
Thanks.
Well, you've been listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. This is Rob Hathaway. I've been your host, in for Dave Vance. We've talked about some very major issues this evening. And, not surprisingly, all of them have stemmed from this organization that has a very tall building surrounded by hundreds of flags in Manhattan called the United Nations. So we've talked about the refugee resettlement program with Don Barnett. We had Bev Berger on, an alderman from Ward 1 in the city of Franklin, to talk about Agenda 21, also a UN agenda-driven program. We didn't get much time with Bev, and I hope she'll come back and we'll have more time to hear about the topic that we discussed with her all too briefly. And then finally, Lori Cardozo-Moore spoke to us about Common Core and the impact in our local city, our city of Franklin, and how it impacts Williamson County schools. So this is not something that's outside of our borders. It's been penetrated into our own cities, and it impacts our own children. It has an impact on our work life. So what can we do? Well, at a very basic level, citizens can be active. Lori mentioned a school board meeting that meets in Williamson County on the 19th, a week from today at 6:30, or 6 p.m. rather, and be present. Let them know you're fed up, and you don't want any more of these programs forced down our throats, into our neighborhoods, into our schools, into our cities. They impact where we live. So I want to thank you for listening. I appreciate every caller, and I want to thank the Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Radio staff for this opportunity to sit in for Dave. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and we're going to sign off now and invite you to come back again next Monday night, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time until 8 o'clock p.m. on Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins.